Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, the fog's going to be burning away, we're told, and that's going to turn partly cloudy. We'll have a high today in the low 80s. Kenosha right now still a little foggy with 67 degrees. Cloudy in Burlington, 71. Milwaukee, 68 with fog. Also fog in Racine at 68 degrees. Deferred action for childhood arrivals or DACA recipients from House Speaker Paul Ryan's 1st Congressional District, along with local activists, going to be joining Madison Mayor Paul Soglin this morning for a rally on why a legislative solution for so-called Dreamers is so urgent for Wisconsin and for America. Here in the Badger State, there are more than 7,500 so-called Dreamers. They are DACA recipients. Their futures and opportunities to fully contribute to their communities, they say, are being threatened by the president's decision to phase out the program. Also attending that event will be members of the student group Youth Empowered in the Struggle, plus Christy Newman-Ortiz, the director of Voces de la Frontera. The reason that Monday night's Racine Unified School Board meeting started so late was because of Governance Committee members talking about a safe zones resolution related to the White House decision. The committee recommends that the full school board approve a letter to Wisconsin's congressional delegation about a quick and humane replacement for DACA. Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion, like at a previous work session, pointed out that while Racine Unified does have procedures, which include federal officers touching base with Racine police, there's little it can do really to stop the feds from going into a school and removing a student. The S.C. Johnson IMET Center in Sturtevant is under the leadership of Gateway Technical College. It's in line to become a training hub for Foxconn, and it may undergo a $5 million renovation and expansion. That according to WRJN's Janet Hoff.
At its regular meeting Thursday, the Gateway Board of Trustees will review a proposal to increase the size of IMET by 50%, add a large parking lot, and renovate some existing space. The entire project would be paid for by the state through the new budget, which Governor Walker has yet to sign. The $5 million was included for whichever technical college district ended up hosting Foxconn's huge manufacturing plant. Right now, it looks like the complex will go on land not far from IMET in Mount Pleasant. The proposed addition would essentially fulfill an originally planned third phase for the technology building. The extra square footage could be added to the west with equipment that lines up with Foxconn's training needs, according to Deb Davidson, Gateway's Vice President of Workforce and Economic Development. She says the school is currently waiting for a list of job descriptions from Foxconn, which still has to officially announce the site, expected in a few weeks. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Nobody spoke on Kenosha Unified's proposed budget for next year at last night's annual meeting of the electors. Then the school board went on to approve standard language, giving it the authority to levy the maximum property tax increase as allowed by state law. As it stands, the budget calls for a nearly 7.5% increase in the levy, mainly because property values in the district are rising faster than the state average. When that happens, state aid gets reduced. Now, property taxpayers this December are not expected to face that actual 7.5% increase. That's because the yet-to-be-signed state budget does include some extra money to offset those types of increases. The proposed state budget, also approved this week by the legislature, contains some good news for local governments, according to Kenosha County Board Supervisor Boyd Frederick. He talked to his colleagues last night, mentioning that the Legislative Committee, during a conference call with the Wisconsin Counties Association, found out that the budget has nearly $7 million for upgrades to 911 systems around the state and block grants to fund local veteran services offices. That's going to be reinstated.
It was not that way for about the last 6 years, and it's going back to that. There will also be an increase in conservation grants than what's been in the last few years.
And $13 million, he said, for local road improvements. It's going to be State Representative Corey Mason and Alderman Sandy Widener on the ballot in Racine for the special mayoral election next month. Mason finishing first in yesterday's primary, Widener second, Melvin Hargrove in third place. Mason telling supporters that his signs read Mason for Racine for a reason, not Mason for mayor, as some of the others had.
It's not about one person but that might be mayor. It's about what kind of changes we want to see in our community, what kind of future we want. The same kind of future that we had when we looked forward to when we were kids, it's the same kind of future I want for our kids and everyone else's kids.
Widener saying that a lot of Racine residents not happy, disgusted, in fact, her word, with local government and concerned about the city's finances.
The state talking about taking over Unified because of failing grades, there's the same concern that the state is going to take over the city because of our poor financial management.
As for Melvin Hargrove, said he felt he had a pretty strong message. He's disappointed, though, with the outcome of the primary.
We thought that when we were going out to different places that there was good energy, positive energy that we saw. We just couldn't translate the energy into votes.
Winner of the special election, again October the 17th, to finish out the rest of John Dickert's term into April 2019. The Burlington Common Council last night approving submission of a disaster aid petition to the state DOT for partial reimbursement of street damage occurring in the 600 block of Madison Street in July with a flooding. It created a sinkhole that ended up at about 30 feet by 60 feet. Finance Director Steve DeQuaker said he learned about this funding source while attending a Wisconsin Emergency Management Disaster Relief Seminar. Said the volume of the underground water on July the 12th caused a main to break, and that's what led to the ground eroding and the big hole. Mayor Jeanne Hefty and the alderman also told by DeQuaker about some additional requests that may be coming their way as he tries to secure additional outside financial help to help cover some of the damage repairs.
This is 75%. If it's covered, I expect that it will be. I'm looking at about $100,000 right now with everything. Could be a little higher. I also have some bridge inspections that may qualify because we had to inspect all three of the bridges crossing the river to make sure they were okay. That bill's around $5,000, not a lot, but if I can get that reimbursed too, I'm going to go after that. So this is just the initial petition. I'll be submitting the actual paperwork with all of what you see here.
Another potential source, the Wisconsin Disaster Fund. He says he's been paying repair bills as they come in from money established in a disaster fund allocation account, but a decision will be coming about how to pay back for the bulk of all the damage and the money that's been coming out of reserves. Remember back in mid-July when the Fox River in Kenosha and Racine counties got to a record high mark with all the rain that fell over that two-day period? Well, that's not the case today. Just 2 months after the fast-rising river caused all kinds of problems for a lot of folks, the level is now down by about 12 feet because it's barely rained since those days. The river measuring 17.47 feet in Wheatland July the 13th, down to 5.83 feet on Tuesday, September 19th. Lowest mark ever recorded on the Fox River, 4.72 feet. That was in July of 2012. A study of future wastewater needs for the city of Racine and its surrounding communities served by the Lakefront Treatment Plant going to be looked at to cover the next couple of decades. Utility General Manager Keith Haas telling the city's Finance and Personnel Committee that the process is beginning with a formal request that came from the Village of Caledonia. Without any specifics to go on, though, Haas is using a figure of $60 million as a placeholder.
But depending on how much capacity the outlying communities would like to have, that number could double. So again, this just establishes a comfort resolution that if I go for clean water fund loan money from the state revolving loan fund and get a low interest subsidized interest rate with possibly some principal forgiveness as well, that this is a cost-effective way of financing, and any costs that I incur from the point of this being approved going forward then are recoverable for a long-term borrow.
The council tonight going to be asked to approve the Finance Committee's recommendation. If you use Highway 31 in the city of Kenosha, you're going to have to put up with sporadic lane closures for up to another month. Kenosha County, under a contract with the DOT, doing spot repairs of damaged pavement along Green Bay Road between 60th and 75th Streets, the goal to complete that work before winter. Meanwhile, a project to straighten out a sharp curve on Fox River Road in Kenosha County, known as Highway W in Salem Lakes, that is nearly complete. That roadway expected to reopen at the end of the week. This work began May 30th. It involved moving the road about 75 feet to the west onto property acquired by the county from private owners. Project cost about $800,000. Another road project that was scheduled to begin this week has now been postponed till next week. The resurfacing of Highway JF in Kenosha County. The prep work expected to begin by the end of this week. The project to wrap up by the end of the month. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.